This is Aviator Cast, episode 19. One airway, one waypoint, and one VOR at a time.
Calling all aviators, pilots, and aviation lovers. Welcome to Aviator Cast, where we close the gap between real aviation and flight simulation. Climb aboard, buckle up, and prepare for takeoff. Here's your host, Chris Palmer.
Welcome, 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 aviators. You've landed at Aviator Cast. My name is Chris Palmer. By ski or float or wheel or skid, it doesn't matter what kind of landing contraption, if it flies, I love it. I'm the founder and owner of Angle of Attack, a flight simulation training company, which is bringing you this podcast today. Aviator Cast is a weekly podcast where we talk about the spirit of the aviator. We believe flying is an art form, one that we have to continually practice and master. This mastery is gained through a focus on continual learning, human factors, humility, and a commitment to excellence. Each episode of Aviator Cast will have a real flight training and a flight simulation topic or an interview with an inspirational and influential aviator. Our desire and mission is not only to create awesome aviators, but also bridge the gap between real aviation and flight simulation. Show notes, transcript, community discussion, and links for this episode can be found by simply going to aviatorcast.com. It is great to be with you on this, the 19th episode of Aviator Cast. A lot has been happening for me recently. My wife and I moved back to Alaska from Hawaii, where she had been finishing up school. So she graduated actually in the middle of April. And so for the last several months, really, we've been traveling home, trying to get back, seeing some family along the way, and we're just now getting settled in. The weather is obviously much different between Hawaii and Alaska, but we're happy to be home where we belong. And I have to tell you, aviation is a way of life here, and I got a good taste of that right as we got home. So we flew in on a Saturday, and that same day, actually we flew in Friday night, but the next morning on Saturday, I went to the Great Alaska Aviation Gathering. This was actually a much larger event than I thought it was going to be, but they had a lot of great display aircraft out front. They actually had a FedEx and UPS MD-11 out front, so you could go in there and see the cockpit, which I did, and talk to the pilots a little bit. That was really cool. And then on the inside of this big FedEx hangar, they had 250 vendors, so I made my way around and talked to some people. I flew in a full-motion Piper Cub simulator. I talked to the people over at Cirrus Aircraft and looked at their beautiful new machine, the Generation 5 Cirrus SR-22 Turbo, and that was beautiful, and a lot of other things. I tried to enter a raffle to win a Piper Cub, a real airplane, and didn't win that. I think I was competing with thousands of other people. But all in all, it was a really, really great experience. I met a lot of cool people, and so I instantly got a taste of this, Alaska aviation feeling. It was a good welcome back home for me. And so from there, I've just been kind of getting settled in and starting out married life here. And yeah, it's been good. So we're going to get into this episode and we're going to talk about a couple topics today. We don't actually have a guest today, but we will have more guests coming up soon. I'm just in the process of lining those people up. So as always, I start out with a review. So this review comes from Steve Kramer, and his username is Bird Medic. He is from the United States. He says, one of the best, 5 stars. I commute 3 hours one way for work as a fixed-wing flight medic. That's pretty cool. I have tried numerous aviation podcasts, and Aviator Cast is by far one of the best. The blend of flight sim, safety, and real-world flight training is done very well. I find myself looking at the calendar to see how many days until the next episode is released. Chris Palmer is obviously very passionate about his business and flying. He brings a refreshing enthusiasm to each podcast episode. Keep up the great work, and thanks for making my commute much more entertaining. Steve Kramer, future pilot and longtime flight simmer. So thanks, Steve. I really appreciate that review. I am passionate about what I do. I really love that we do some great things here with not only flight simulation, but especially flight training. All of them come from the same love for aviation and that same need to want to do things correctly, to want to do things safely. And, you know, if we're not flying for real, then we're using a simulator to get those real flying skills better, or kind of the opposite way around too. If we're flying for real, then we, I guess, use a simulator. And if we use a simulator, then we want to be flying for real, right? So yeah, we're all under the same roof. We're all happy and we can all sing kumbaya. So thanks. Thanks for that review, Steve. And now we're going to get into this episode. So let's get into the flight training segment.
And now the flight training segment.
All right, so I've been going through this process recently of getting my medical renewed. Yay. If you're not a real pilot, this is quite the process. Some of you are used to it, and it's kind of just the same old thing. But for me, it always seems to be something that is kind of like pulling teeth. It seems like there's always something different that comes up, and I have to deal with something. So this process started for me anew. When I was back in Hawaii several months ago, I realized that, you know, I really need to get this taken care of right away. So I started to go through this process in Hawaii, although my doctor was elsewhere. Went through the whole process, determined that, first of all, I did not have the vision to pass the medical. So first and foremost, I had to get glasses. Yes, glasses. So I ran to Walmart where I could get them the same day. I had them made. I got some nice polarized sunglasses to go on top of those, and I was off to the races. I had the vision component taken care of that. Now, I think I may have mentioned this in a previous episode of Aviator Cast, but I also have what's called a special issuance medical because I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis when I was 17. This was a very difficult process initially to go through the medical process with the FAA and get the approval. I had to do all sorts of tests to prove that I was fit to fly, and it ended up being one of the most, one of the biggest accomplishments of my life to just keep pressing through that. So there was also this multiple sclerosis part of my medical that was just kind of a recurring thing. This is what I was used to. I wasn't too worried about that. So I went through this whole process in Hawaii. I got the medical paper sent off. Basically, my doctor said, you know, I can't really give you your medical because it's expired. And so I'm going to have to send this into the FAA. I just don't have the approval I think I need to give you this medical certificate. So that's what we did. We sent it into the FAA in Oklahoma, which is a bit of a process. I waited weeks and weeks, and part of that was because I was traveling, and they had sent mail to my address here in Alaska, and so I really didn't know what was going on. Now, kind of rewind a little bit, when I got into Alaska, I went to the Great Alaska Aviation Gathering like I told you about. I met a really great guy there from ATP Medicine, and he has been helping me out. He's an FAA medical guy up here, a doctor. He's been helping me out kind of cut through the red tape, if you will, and figure out how we can get my medical done. So this process has actually been kind of a breath of fresh air because I feel like I kind of have someone on my side, and especially someone here locally in Alaska that I can lean on. And so we started going through this process, and guess what the FAA said? They came back and they said, okay, vision's fine, MS is fine, we get that, everything's good there. But we see that you had kidney stones in 2011, so we want more information on that. Now, this almost seems like a joke to me, and I don't know what their qualifications are for this sort of stuff, but I had kidney stones one time, and I didn't have any before then, no problems then, and nothing afterwards. So I just think to myself, you know, this seems like kind of a joke. I went through all this, the MS is fine, the glasses are fine, the vision, all that, but now kidney stones. So basically, as far as I understand, at this point in time, I have to essentially get scans that prove that I am clear of kidney stones and I'm not going to have any more kidney stones. And then they'll basically clear me. But for me, you know, being on a tight budget, running a small business, wanting to get my float rating and do some other things this year to increase my knowledge and my skills in aviation, that's a lot of money to just slap down to say, yeah, I'm clear. So that's kind of what I'm struggling with right now. And I know we've talked about this medical issue a lot, especially with you flight simmers out there, actually, because one of the big things for flight simmers that keeps them from actually taking real flight lessons is that often it's a medical thing. They just simply can't get their medical certificate. And so many of you maybe feel my pain. Maybe you've had to go through a difficult process like this to actually get your medical, or maybe you've gone through this process before and you didn't get your medical. And so that's kind of a frustrating thing, or maybe you have a disqualifying condition, something like that. So it is a very frustrating process. So that's where I'm kind of at right now. I'm in limbo, wondering, you know, what's going to happen next. And obviously I'm following up on some of those things, but it is a bit frustrating. So I don't know if you out there listening to my voice, if you're having these sort of issues, I would like to hear about your challenges with getting a medical certificate. So if you want to go to aviatorcast.com, leave a comment on this episode, episode 19. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to interact with you on this topic. And just tell me, you know, what's your story? What's your medical issue? And just voice your opinion there as well. We'll share in each other's pain, in other words. So from there, there's actually some good news. Recently, the AOPA, or AOPA as some people pronounce it, is working with the FAA, or rather their pilots, and they're getting a lot of support for something that will really help us out in this particular situation. So there are three different classes of medical. There's a first class, a second class, and a third class. AOPA is working on the third class medical certificate, which would essentially be done with just a driver's license. So that would mean that if you can qualify for a driver's license, that is all that is required to get your medical certificate for a third class medical. Now, that is someone that is a private pilot. You can't be a commercial pilot, but you can still carry passengers and things. Third class medical. So that is actually looking really, really promising at this point. It's looking like this might actually become a reality. It just makes common sense to me that this is the next logical step to getting your medical. Is if I can qualify to drive, heck, I mean, it's a dangerous world out there. We all know that, driving around. Why can't we do it in an airplane for that sort of thing? And I understand that if you're a commercial operator, you're carrying passengers, we should be a little bit more strict like that. So it makes sense that the first and second class would remain as the strict guidelines that we've kind of talked about here with the FAA. But if we're just taking our friends and family and it's no more dangerous than what we'd be doing in a car, why not allow pilots to do that, with a third class medical? This is a great thing. This means that more of us are going to be able to get back into flying. It means that it kind of takes away the cost of it all, some of the frustrations from a lot of it. It could mean a lot of great things for the aviation industry. So that is a big positive coming up. Now, in my particular case, I still have to go for at least a second class medical because I'm working on getting my CFI, my certified flight instructor. So I still have to go for that second class and I still have to work through all of this process. But that's a little bit of news. That's a little bit about what I've been going through. And I just wanted to share with you guys, you know, kind of that personal side of what's been going on in my pilot life, if you will, because I know that a lot of you share that sort of pain, and that's basically the gist of it. So again, if you want to comment on this, just go to aviatorcast.com. We can continue the discussion there. Otherwise, let's get over to the flight simulation segment.
And now, the flight simulation segment.
All right. So here we are in the flight simulation segment. Recently, while I was in my travels going from Hawaii to back to Alaska, I had stopped in California and Utah and made my way over to Denver and up to Wyoming and then back to Utah and then finally back home to Alaska. Now, during those travels, I stopped to see my good friend Trevor Bear in Denver. You may have remembered Trevor from one of the previous episodes. In that episode and in another episode actually with Shane Schmidt, which was just several episodes back, we talked a lot about Redbird simulators. So Redbird is a company out of Texas. They're breaking a lot of ground with full motion general aviation simulators that are quite affordable for flight schools and for different just small outfits that can use that sort of technology in their training programs. So what happened was I actually went out and hung out with Trevor for a day. You know, my wife came with me. We went out to the Longmont Airport there in Denver, and we kind of sat on the ramp at this food truck, and we had a good burger and watched the airplanes and watched the parachuters, talked about all the different operations there and the beautiful airplanes and the jets, kind of jets that come in every now and again, that sort of thing, that sort of pilot talk that you would have sitting down with your friend, getting a feel for what that airport is like, dreaming that you were the one up there in that nice spring sun. But that wasn't our purpose for the day. So we finished up lunch, and then we headed over to Trevor's friend's place. His name is Shane, and Shane runs Aerosphere. If you want to go to that website, it's aero-sphere.com. So what they do at Aerosphere is they actually have one of these Redbird FMX simulators, and this is what our big thing was for the day. We were going to go and fly the Redbird. This was would be my initial journey with a Redbird. Now, I know many of you may have actually flown one of these or heard of them, so you know I actually felt quite privileged to just go and test one of these out. I didn't have to pay for it. Shane was kind enough because you know I'm sharing this publicly that he kind of allowed us in there on a media basis, I guess you would call it. So basically what happened is we changed out the panel. So we changed it from a basic 6 and then we just dropped in a G1000 panel. I thought instantly that was pretty cool because you could switch out the panels so quickly. So we dropped in a G1000 panel. We jumped in there. Trevor kind of knew his way around and he ran the simulator for us. And my wife flew first. I said, hey, jump in the left seat. I'll kind of show you around. She's never flown an airplane before. She hasn't even really messed with my simulator that much. So she sat in the left seat, and I sat in the right seat, and I gave her some pointers. And I was really, really surprised. She was really good at it. She could taxi pretty well. Like, you know, it was one of those things where she doesn't even know about the controls. She doesn't know what the controls do. So this was a complete introduction. I said, okay, the feet steer you on the ground sort of thing. The toes touch the brakes. This is the power. And there was prop and mixture, but I didn't tell her about that. And you know, I didn't really have her worry about that. And then you pull back to go up. You push down to go forward. Once we're in the air, you turn this way. So, I mean, my wife is really good. She's good at all, you know, almost everything. She's a super smart person. And so really no surprise. She just, you know, kind of pushes the throttle up. She eases forward, no big deal. She's using the rudder pedals and she's staying right on that taxiway center line, pulling out on the runway. She lines up with the runway. She's all centered. I say, okay, well, you can push the throttle forward now. So she does that. She goes full throttle. I make sure it's full for her so the takeoff will be easier. And she just dances on those rudder pedals like it's no big deal, going down the runway, center line. And then I said, okay, you can pull back now. She pulls back. Man, I could not believe she did that good. But she went through that process. She kind of did a pattern there. And, it was a little more difficult for her once she got in the air. But she went around in the simulator. And, these simulators are really cool because the motion component to a simulator really does matter. It gives you that feel as if you're there. And the wraparound visuals give you that feel as if you're there. You know, instead of having a flight simulator like most of us do with this 20-some-odd-inch screen in front of us, I think mine's a 24-inch, something like that, on my particular simulator. Instead of just having one screen like that, you know, you can actually look to your right, look out the right-hand side of the airplane. You can look to your left. Gives you a much better feel, and plus having that motion and having all the sound in there and having a really, really great set of controls where you're actually flipping switches for everything rather than flipping the switches visually and digitally right within your simulator on the screen. So very cool, very immersive. That's the first impression I had. So Chelsea, my wife, and I, we kind of did a pattern. She came back in. She tried to land. It was okay. She landed on the grass. She almost made it to the runway, and she did a pretty good job. I had her kind of power up and take off again, and then we went and tried to land somewhere else. That one, she piled up pretty good. But for the most part, she did a fantastic job. And during that leg, I introduced her to the flight director, which is cheating, and the autopilot and stuff. I didn't actually put her on autopilot, but I just kind of showed her around like what the stuff does. So from there, Trevor and I flew. I actually flew in the left seat. Trevor was kind enough to actually let me do all the flying. I think probably because he gets to do this a lot since he lives just a couple minutes down the street. So that was nice of him. So I jumped in the left seat and we went and we did some IFR work. I said, hey, just load it up, give me zero visibility or at least minimums, and you know, let's go test this out. So I got up in the air, and man, I was really off for a minute or two. I was really having a hard time controlling my heading and my altitude and all sorts of stuff. I was just off my game. And then I got a little more focused, and we went in and we did an ILS into Austin. And I've actually flown in there in real life on an ILS before with some kicking winds and some rain. But that's a story for a different time. So anyway, in the simulator, we did an ILS, and it was down the minimums, and we broke out of the clouds, and the runway was right there. It all operated really beautifully, and there, you know, along the way, the G1000 just worked really, really well. There were some minor differences for trademark and copyright reasons that Redbird had to change to make it a little bit different than the Garmin stuff. But overall, just really, really impressive on how realistic it was and how much your mind can buy into it being a realistic situation. So that's what we did. We did that ILS, and then we took off out of there. Trevor cleared the weather. And we just went straight ahead, and he started showing me, okay, you know, you can fail this, which was circuit breakers. You can fail the flaps. And sure enough, all of that stuff, you know, the circuit breakers would pop out. The flaps wouldn't work. And you'd get all of the consequences because of that. And then we decided to go for the ultimate, which is fail the engine. So Trevor failed the engine. We were far enough away and high enough up that I turned back to the airport and tried to line up with the runway and glide back, but I didn't have enough distance and altitude to get there. So I ended up stopping before then, which was all good, good lessons and just kind of a test, really. But this goes back to what we've talked about a lot in AviatorCast, which is scenario-based training. So if you remember the episode with Shane Schmidt, this is a big, big thing that Redbird is a proponent of right now, is that you can learn in a simulator like this, you can learn by SBT, and you can come out a better pilot because of it. And after having flown the Redbird simulator, I can definitely attest to that. Now, have I done a full course with a simulator like this? Has it been a major part of curriculum that I've done before? No. However, I know that a simulator in and of itself, this one I have here at home, has been absolutely integral every step of the way to me becoming a pilot. I've been able to come home after a flight lesson and I get to fly unlimited hours just practicing and practicing and practicing different navigation techniques or approaches or whatever it is, getting into the flow and feel of the aircraft and that IFR system. There are so many different things a simulator can do for you in building great habits. And so taking that to the next level and flying a Redbird simulator with full motion and all of the controls right there and the wraparound visuals, it really starts to trick your mind into thinking that you are flying. However, then you can do things you would never do in an airplane, which is cut the engine or do a flaps failure or some other failure that would just be kind of stupid to do in a real airplane, to put yourself in that sort of danger unnecessarily. So So yeah, this was a really great experience. I challenge you guys, especially if you're in the Denver area, give Aerosphere a call. Check out their website, get their number from there, and talk to Shane. Aerosphere, aero-sphere.com. I'll put that in the show notes as well. This was a really great experience. You know, it's worth going and trying out for an hour. I really enjoyed it. I'm a big proponent of Redbird. Excited about what they're doing in the flight simulation market, and you know that simulation that is being used in flight training at a high level. So for you guys that have been flight simmers for so many years, you may have asked yourself the question, why don't real pilots take flight simulation more seriously? And I can tell you that today, more and more pilots are taking flight simulation as an actual platform much more serious for an integral part of their training than ever before. And it's growing and growing and growing, and it's becoming more and more appreciated. I definitely experienced that with the Redbird, and I can only imagine that that will continue to go forward in that same way. So, what do you think about the future of simulation and how Redbird will play into all of this? If you have a comment about that, or anything about the Redbird simulator, go ahead and go to aviatorcast.com, comment on this episode. We have discussion going on there if you want to chat. And that's it. We'd love to hear your thoughts on AviatorCast. You can truly shape this show and the topics we provide. Take a simple, quick 2-minute survey at survey.aviatorcast.com. Do you want to be part of the AviatorCast community or leave a comment, kind of like I just mentioned? If so, go to aviatorcast.com to join in, or write me directly at me@aviatorcast.com. Say that you don't want to miss an episode of AviatorCast. Really simple, no worries there. You can subscribe through email at aviatorcast.com on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, or SoundCloud. The big main one is iTunes. That's where most podcasts come through, and kind of the one that we focus on the most. We'd love to hear your honest review on iTunes. This helps others learn about AviatorCast, and you know, then they can enjoy it as well. And it helps pump up our ratings and just get more visibility. So if nothing else, we'd love for you to be able to do that for us if you enjoy AviatorCast. That would be very much appreciated. If you'd like to check out some of our training products at Angle of Attack, head to flyaoamedia.com. Start with the basics for free with Aviator 90, learn instrument flying and more with Aviator Pro, or even fly many of the world's most popular jets virtually with our training products for the 737, 747, 777, and MD-11. Again, at flyaoamedia.com. So in closing, many thanks also go to the Angle of Attack crew for all their hard work to make episodes like this possible and all they do outside of AviatorCast just to keep things running from day to day. You know, I'm only one guy. There's only so much I can do, only so much time in the day. And we have a lot of great people at Angle of Attack helping us out. I won't say a lot because it's not like we're this huge corporation, but the people we do have, which is a good handful, they are just fantastic, and I really appreciate all they do. And to you, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of AviatorCast. We are truly grateful to have you here, truly part of our community and so engaged in this wonderful passion for flying things. Until next time, throttle on. 5-8
is ready. 5-8 in the shoreline, turn left heading 235, maintain 2000, runway 25 right, clear for takeoff.
Clear for takeoff, 25 right, United 580.